Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and Moneyweb.
Now, we all want to build wealth and preserve it. It's one of the reasons that I hope you listen to this program every night as we try to make sense of the complexities around this. Now, wealth management is a multifaceted process that encompasses a spectrum of strategies and practices aimed at securing an investor's financial future. Two critical yet fundamentally different phases within this realm are wealth creation and then wealth preservation. Grant Alexander is with me, director at Private Client Holdings, and I hope he's going to give us something of a roadmap. Grant, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. And maybe let's start the journey with the key difference between the mindset required between wealth creation versus preservation. I would imagine very different.
Yes, good evening, Jeremy. Thank you very much for inviting me onto your show. Certainly, there are major differences between these two phases, but one needs to be mindful that both are part of the same journey, which is basically to fund a successful lifestyle. And from a wealth creation perspective, we generally start our journeys armed with enthusiasm and ambition, but sadly with no investments. Then we apply this human capital to furthering our careers or businesses, and we start the saving process, effectively this accumulation or wealth creation phase. Then at some point, those investments exceed our human capital, and we need to start drawing from our investments to supplement any earnings that we may still have, perhaps through consulting back to the company or the industry that we retired from. And this is effectively the decumulation or wealth preservation phase. And broadly, there are two areas of risk to solve for. I mean, there are many risks, but what really concerns us in these two phases is solving for inflation and solving for market volatility. And there are many tensions and trade-offs when we're addressing this. I mean, wealth creation really is concerned about building wealth that will beat inflation over time. And we'll therefore be invested mainly in aggressive growth assets that are likely to beat the inflation. Then in wealth preservation, we use the wealth that's being created to fund a goal. And in most cases, this would be the lifestyle during retirement. And so we're concerned about the certainty of cash flows. So market volatility is the risk to solve for. And accordingly, our investments would be more defensive in nature.
And Grant, it's very difficult to get a handle on both of those, the inflation and the volatility planning, because to quote a well-known former U.S. vice president, these are known unknowns, but we don't know when they're going to spring up on that journey that you refer to.
Quite right. And that's why I started the conversation by saying, really, we're on one journey. And I think there are many mistakes made by de-risking too early on that journey, that a particular date that might be age 60 or 65 should be just seen as one little blip, call it, on the full spectrum. And the strategy shouldn't change that much as one transitions from wealth creation into wealth preservation. And in fact, the wealth preservation, one should be cautious of that term, given that it would suggest being fully defensive, and the wheels can seriously fall off if you start your retirement by de-risking too early.
So how does one determine on this journey the right level of risk to take without compromising future financial security?
I think you need to really apply a consistent strategy throughout. And at Private Clients Holdings, we apply a goal-based wealth management approach to doing these things and effectively allocate capital to goals that are prioritized. And one of those goals, generally the most important one, would be this lifestyle goal that we're talking about. And any excess capital allocated to other goals, such as second property, legacy, etc. But when we're on that journey, we typically keep clients invested in growth assets throughout. And where we only start solving for defensive assets is when the drawdowns are happening. We would effectively work out what potentially the next 5 years' worth of cash flow would be, and only allocate that proportion of the capital to fund those cash flows. The full remaining amount needs to stay invested. I mean, as an example, if we are to start saving at, say, age 20, and at age 60 retired, if we kept with this plan, we would make it to age 90, assuming a 5% drawdown on capital. However, if clients became too conservative, say as an extreme, they decided that putting cash under a mattress was a clever idea, their capital would last 3 years. However, if they de-risked, and this often happens at retirement because retirement annuities are converted into living annuities at that point in time. And if you go from, say, a inflation plus 5% asset allocation into an inflation plus 2%, so you give up 3% of growth, it's over a 30-year period, and that means retirees will lose out on 11 years of that capital. So instead of lasting till age 90, it'll only last till age 79 in that example.
Now, Grant, in terms of the role that diversification plays in wealth creation, does the strategy change as the focus starts to shift towards preservation?
It does to a certain extent. And if you think of it, as you approach a D-Day, call it age 90, as you approach that particular point in time, you would have a greater weighting towards defensive assets, because given that you theoretically 5 years, that's your remaining life expectancy, that would all be in defensive assets. But if you ratchet that back at your age 65, the next 5 years only comprises a very small percentage of it. So you would have a very small allocation to defensive assets initially, and it would grow over time as you reach age 90.
And just a final one, overarching all of this, I assume, is running in tandem is proper tax planning.
Absolutely. I mean, there's tax and there's estate duty, so estate planning as well, absolutely essential. And on the estate planning side, you'd want to start relatively early. You don't only want to wait until this preservation decumulation stage to start putting plans in place. You know, if you need trusts, if you have private equity, your own business, those really should be put in trusts much earlier before the value increases. And from an income tax point of view, as you have more and more defensive assets in your portfolio, you would have higher exposure to income tax because the interest is fully taxable. And then you would look to various vehicles to mitigate those taxes.
Grant Alexander, thank you very much indeed. Director at Private Client Holdings, I do appreciate your time tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.